Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back, and a very welcome back to this St. Patrick's Day edition of the Turley Frequency. Now, I was mentioning with Ned earlier the St. Patrick's Confession, the famous writings that he wrote are kind of, they're not very long, but they're very interesting, and they can be easily found online. If you go to confessio.ie, you can find St. Patrick's Confession there, or just type into any search engine St. Patrick's Confession, and it's really well worth reading because this is a saint and this is a man who steps out of history very much into our world and today. And his writing, the one thing that comes across from it is his great faith, but also his great humility, that he is a servant of God. And perhaps the more hostile the environment that he was operating in, the greater he felt the need for the Lord, but also the humility that the Lord would protect him in that. And it's well worth a read on this day, just before you start partying, perhaps. Now, before we do anything else on this wonderful Friday, we are going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This is a time when we gather together as a praying radio community, and we pray for each other and we pray with each other. And that is what it's all about. And it's something which I look forward to every day and can't wait to have your prayer requests. So myself and the prayer warrior who turns up later will pray for. Now, remember, I say this a lot, but I really do mean it. There is nothing that we can't pray for. As long as it's not something evil or wrong or immoral, we can pray for it. So, you know, it's like a better job or a faster car or whatever you want. As long as it's God's will and it's going to bring you closer to God, then we can pray for it. Now, of course, we're going to pray for all the serious stuff that we pray for every single day, that people's relationships are healed, their bodies are healed, their minds are healed, their spirits are enlivened. Of course, we're going to pray for that. But we could pray for little things as well. And also, if you just want us to pray for somebody, maybe it's your newborn child, or maybe it's a child who is long since left home, but it's just on your mind today. Or maybe it's an Irish relative that you want to pray for today. Or you want to pray for a place like the Ukraine that is experiencing so much war, or the people of Russia, or wherever it is. Happy to pray for everybody today. Okay, so let's ask Reed. Reed, who is our prayer partner today?
All right, Kevin, in the studio with us. Is Mr. Dan Jakeson.
Dan, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
Good to be back and good to be talking with you again.
It's always good to have you, Dan. You have quite a large family that keeps turning up on this show, and we love them. They're all wonderful. We've got Sherry, we've got Julie. I mean, is there no end to this Jakeson treasury of prayer warriors?
Well, yes, there is. We're not really that large a family, but we repeat ourselves.
It's the best way. It's the best way. And how's your Friday going so far, Dan?
Very good. Very good. We're off. I made it here in good stead to listen to you on the story of St. Patrick's. Interestingly enough, I replayed that in my mind this morning over breakfast. I think I had most of his history, for the most part, pretty correct. So thanks for repeating it and validating my memory.
It's a great story, isn't it? And it's one that I think is very pertinent to the times we live in, because, I mean, today I like to think that if Patrick was catechizing and evangelizing the Irish, he would have an FM and an AM radio on the top of Slane, as well as the fire. And he'd be blasting out the gospel. What do you think?
He'd be pretty busy.
Yeah, he could call it Angel Radio. He can't call it Archangel Radio. We've got that name, but he could call it the Angel of Ireland Radio or something. Certainly. But anyway, Dan, it's a great pleasure to have you with us this morning, and I hope you've come with lots and lots of intentions for us to pray for.
Well, I have a few.
Good.
Hang on to them
for the moment, Dan. We're going to come to them in a second because I just want to tell people Dan is here now, okay? So rest easy. Dan is going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. So last calls. You want to speak to either myself or Dan, 888-928-0881, or text me your prayer requests, and Dan and I will be only too happy to pray for you this morning, 251-928-2111. Okay, and already we have some requests coming in, so this is great. Okay, so Dan, do you pray the Divine Mercy on a daily basis anyway?
Not on a daily basis. I listen to the station, and as the morning gets on, I participate with you and your other guests sporadically. I'm busy in the mornings, but I can catch some of the prayers. Yes.
Well, as I say every day, Dan, if you're switched on, you're praying with us. Okay, you're part of the team. You're in the boat. You're with us. So and sometimes I know what radio listening's like. You're in, you're out. You're in and out of the car. You're in and out of the house, or somebody's phoning or whatever, on and off. That's okay. We're still part of it. That's the wonders of modern technology. The wonders of this radio apostolate, that we can all bring each other together in this listening. And as I say every day, Dan, you don't even have to be Catholic to listen to this or to benefit from the prayers we're about to say, right?
That's correct. Open for everybody.
We are an equal opportunities prayer request taker on this show, that's for sure. Okay, well, Dan, shall we get started?
Certainly.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together, Dan,
O blood and water,
which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dan. That's us up and running. So this first decade, Dan, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, I have a rather unusual request and intention, I think. I'm a parishioner, as you know, Christ the King, and in the vestibule of the church in the front is a book of intentions for prayers. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd mention that with a couple of thoughts in mind, that perhaps if other parishes do not have such a book, I find it very attractive in the sense of sharing before I enter into the main area of the Mass, to look over what other people are praying for. And you find a very array and a variety of intentions. Some cause you to smile. They are obviously very serious and but they become very spiritual as you spend just a few minutes before you go into Mass to read over them on that page. And over the years, I've tried to make it a regular practice as I enter the church. So I'd like to pray for all those people, most of whom I don't know, but the collection of them in that book provides a body of people in need, and I'd like to identify those people.
I think that's a lovely intention, Dan, and I will come back to you on some of the other decades, but I think just let's pray for that, because in a way you're also praying for everybody at Christ the King, right?
That's correct, and there, in other places too.
Absolutely. But let's just focus on Christ the King, a parish which you know and which so many good people have come from to pray with me on this. And many of them will have written, maybe anonymously into that booklet, their needs, their desires, their wants, their hopes. So let's just lift them all up. Let's lift the whole parish up. Everybody who's ever written in that book, everybody who's there today, everybody who partakes of the liturgy there, who's part of the community and the family that is Christ the King, especially the pastors and everybody who takes care of everybody, let's lift them up and ask that there'll be a special blessing on them today, that the Lord will fill them all with the Holy Spirit, and it will go on being a light. We were talking about St. Patrick on Slea, and let Christ the King be a light to the people of Fairhope and Mobile and Lower Alabama. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Amen. So, Dan, while we've been on air, we've had a number of text requests, and I'll just go through them. We'll go through this one. Good morning, Jim. Jim regularly contacts the show, and we're very, very glad that you do, Jim. Thank you so much for your text. And Jim is asking for prayers for Mark. Mark has bipolar, is suffering from the bipolar condition, and at the moment poor Mark is not having his meds for some reason. And Jim goes on to say that Mark finds himself at odds with his family members who are trying to help him. And Jim is asking for prayers this morning for Mark's healing and also his reconciliation with those who love him. Jim, I think that's a wonderful practical prayer for Mark on one level, and it's also a very spiritual prayer for Mark as well. It's asking for the Prince of Peace to step in and calm this man, help him to listen to the advice of those around him and get the treatment that he needs. So we will lift Mark up now in this second decade, Jim, and we'll also pray for you and pray for your family and your needs as well at this time. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much, Dan. And I think for this third decade, Reed or Mike, do we have the petitions from the parish of St. Lawrence this morning?
Yes, Kevin, we sure do.
Would you like to read them out, Reed?
Of course. So, starting with David, he is praying for a successful operation and recovery for Devin. And then the next person is Kathleen, and she has two intentions. The first one is for the healing and strength for a special neighbor and parishioner who is recovering from knee surgery. So I imagine that would be a parishioner at St. Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also is praying for healing for a special family pet that they have who was injured.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And then also the church cleaners at St. Lawrence, they want to pray for Mr. Richard Suk. He died on Thursday, so they are praying for the repose of his soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is anonymous. It is for the healing of my marriage, for it to be restored, and for my husband to end his affair.
Amen.
And then, Kevin, I would just like to pray for any extraordinary Eucharistic ministers throughout the diocese. My grandmother is one, and she takes it very seriously. It's something that she looks forward to on the weeks that she's going to be doing it. So,
absolutely. I think it's a wonderful mission, especially to the housebound and the elderly and the ill. That's wonderful. So we're delighted to pray for all extraordinary Eucharistic ministers throughout the Archdiocese of Mobile. But also we pray for David, for his successful the operation for Devon. Pray Kathleen's intentions as well for the person who needs and is suffering from a knee surgery, and for the pet. Hopefully it'll be okay. We also thank the church cleaners and pray for them. They're most important people in the parish sometimes, and we pray their intention that Richard's soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. And we pray very much for the anonymous who we've prayed for before on this show at this time, for the healing of her marriage and that her husband leave his errant ways and return to his marriage. Just listening to that, Dan, it must bring back memories of where we started when you were talking about this similar sort of book in Christ the King.
Well, it certainly does. Not quite what to make of that, but it's part of the beginning.
And as you were saying earlier, Dan, it really brings you closer to the, just listening to those intentions, you get a sense of what's really going on in the parish, you know, the real needs that people are really suffering sometimes, and they need our prayers, right? We need to pray for each other.
The range of situations is remarkable. You spend a little time wondering, and every family has some kind of a problem somewhere in their lineup of it's absolutely amazing, the range. Just shake my head every time I read that book.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's lift up all these intentions, St. Lawrence petitions. If you're listening from St. Lawrence, you're being prayed for, because we're praying for everybody at St. Lawrence, but specifically these intentions, and also for Reed's intention, for the Eucharistic ministers. If you're a Eucharistic minister, you're included in this third decade as well. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dan. So that was our third decade. Now, this fourth decade, we have had a text in. I'm just seeing it's prayers for somebody who we've been praying for in the past, for my grandmother, Betty, who is now in hospice care. It's from Luke. Good morning, Luke. Luke in Fairhope. And Luke is asking for prayers for Betty. And we're delighted to pray for Betty. You've told us in the past that Betty is 96, Luke, and we salute her, 96, the same age as the late Queen and the late Pope Benedict. So wonderful, 96. And we give thanks for Betty's life and witness and pray that she be given all the help and the attention and the medical help that she needs at this time. But Luke's also asking for prayers for Huey, a friend of his who had heart surgery earlier this week. Luke, we're delighted to pray for Huey. We pray that there will be a speedy and very helpful and hopeful and positive recovery on Huey's part, and before long he's back up and back out and about and enjoying his life. And please, Luke, do keep us abreast of Huey if he needs any more prayer at any more time. We'd only be too delighted to pray for him. And also, I know in the past, Luke, you've asked us to pray for Celie, who passed away from cancer, and we include her in this decade as well. And thanks again, Luke, for getting in touch with the show. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dan. So for this final decade, Dan, I'm going to come to you again. I presume there's going to be prayers for Julie and Sherry.
Absolutely, every day.
Now, have I missed anybody else out? They're the two I know, but is there anybody else?
Julie asked that I make a report on the progress of someone we have prayed for in the past, and that's mm-hmm. Tom and his surgery on his back.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Tom and his wife Jerry. Yeah,
right. He's undergone upwards of years of problems with his back, and his latest surgery seems to be progressing. And we hear hopeful words from that family.
Oh, well, we give thanks for that, and we continue, if you're listening, Tom or Jerry, we continue to pray for you and very happy to do so.
And I'd like to add on top of that, Dan, let's pray for your daughter, Cindy. Yeah.
Cindy is in the process of some stress of having sold her house and buying another house and trying to coming up next week, moving into that new house. A very complicated situation that I think will work itself out. But
Nevertheless, I wanted to pray for her.
So, thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Well, I mean, this is no better time to be praying for Cindy, Dan, because as you know, we've got the great feast of St. Joseph next week. And if there's ever a man who wants to help with house moving, quick house moving at that, then St. Joseph is a great heavenly patron. So we ask him to help Cindy with that house move. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Kevin.
We got Julie, we got Sherry, we got Cindy, we got Tom, we got Jerry. Is there anybody else, Dan?
Yes, one more.
Yep.
Julie's cousin, Gloria Jean, who has suffering with cancer.
Yep.
Well, no news is good news, and that's kind of the way they've left it for a while anyway. So that seems to be progressing as favorably as well. So we continue to pray for Gloria Jean as well.
Wonderful. We've prayed for Gloria Jean before. Happy to do so again. And thank you, Julie, for all you do for all these people. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful family, the Jacksons. Absolutely wonderful. Now, you heard, Dan, the dulcet tones of Mr. Mike Romano, and I have to bring him in. Right, Mike, who or what would you like us to pray for in this final decade?
Yes, I'd like to pray for everyone in my family. Also, special prayers for my cousin CJ, who will be getting married in January 6th next year. And I pray for he and his betrothed, his fiance. And I also like to continue to pray for my wife that the cancer remains in remission, and pray for her return to the faith, and pray for my children as well, Donnie, Jordan, and Stella. Pray for me as a father. I hope that for St. Joseph, specifically prayers from him that I will, hopefully, be the best role model that I can be, as a witness to the faith that I can be, and that I pray for their future friend, the person that will the people, the friends that they will make, that will hopefully bring them into a love and relationship with our Lord through His holy church. And I'd also like to pray for everybody here at Archangel Radio, especially a Thanksgiving prayer for Reed, who has just done a phenomenal job, and just fits in here like a glove, like a family member. He is a family member, and I cannot thank God enough for the job that he's done, and ask that the Lord will continue to bless him as a producer here, and pray for his family as well.
Amen. Amen. Now, while we've been on air, Mike, I have had a request, anonymous request. Mm-hmm. Can you please pray for Mike Romano? So you're getting double helpings this morning, Mike. So listen, we'll pray for all
your
family. Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
We'll pray for Donnie and Jordan and Stella and Jennifer, and we pray for CJ and for you, especially this weekend, Mike, with St. Joseph. And yes, of course, I'm sure you'll join me, Dan, in praying for everybody here at Archangel Radio, everybody who works here, everybody who's a donor, everybody who's on the board, everybody who's ever listened to us. You're all part of the family, and we are delighted to lift you up to the Lord here in this final decade, in this final day of the working week.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
In atonement for our sins.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude together, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we finish together, Dan. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dan, thank you so much for coming in, taking time to pray with us this morning. I hope it's not too long before you come back.
Pleasure to be here with you.
Absolutely. Great pleasure. Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you for you and Julie and Sherry and all the Jacksons do. It's a wonderful gift to us here at Archangel Radio. Now, when we come back, we will be continuing a St. Patrick's Day theme when I will be telling you about a woman who changed my life, my mother. Back after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency.
Looking for an adventure? Consider Coastal Segway Adventures. Located on the beautiful Hugh Branyon Backcountry Trail, Segway operators can explore nature in Gulf State Park. Coastal Segway Adventures also offers kayak and paddleboard rentals for a fun-filled, hassle-free day on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. That's 251-509-8687. Coastal Segway Adventures. Coast the Gulf. Coast life.
I am Robert Overmeyer, manager of Ascension Funeral Home and a member of St. Pius X Parish and a proud supporter of Archangel Radio. At Ascension Funeral Home, we are dedicated to providing personalized service in a warm and caring environment. Our experienced and dedicated staff can work with you to ensure your loved one's funeral is complete with all the traditions and rituals of the Catholic Church. For details, call Ascension Funeral Home at 634-8055 or visit ascensionfuneralgroup.com.
Coach Philip Rivers on faith and football.
It's way bigger than the football part of it. I want them to, and we want them to, grow in virtue and all those traits that correlate in both football, which is why I love the game, and life and your faith and being a father one day and a husband. It's all the same. You know, the toughness, the sacrifice, the discipline, the handling adversity, the teamwork, all those things you can bring out and grow in by playing more than just football, all high school sports, in an environment that's cultivated the right way. So that's what we want. We want them to have a great experience playing with us, and then we also want them to look back and go, you know what, I'm better for having played football. I'm a better person now than I would have been if I had not played at St. Michael.
Archangel Radio, continuing your Catholic education, high school and beyond.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And this portion of the show is known as Story Time. Yes, and it's self-evident what it is. It's a time when we tell stories or we think about certain episodes in people's lives or the way that they've impacted on other people's lives or impacted on our own lives. And today was St. Patrick's Day, so there's a whole range of possible contenders for stories today. And I did think about this story and that story and this story of this Irish saint and this wonderful episode in this Irish saint's life. And then I thought, wait a minute, am I missing something here? Because I think about today, I think of Ireland. I'm not in Ireland, although I'm Irish. I'm living away from Ireland. And it's not called the motherland for nothing. So I started thinking about my mother. And she's not alive anymore. But I started thinking about her faith. And I started reflecting on that really today, especially at Mass. I was giving thanks for her witness. And her witness, I mean, she's the person who taught me how to pray. I remember that, well, I can remember very, very vaguely when we were knelt down beside our bed as little children and we were taught to pray the Hail Mary, which we'd always get wrong or whatever. And I remember it was she that accompanied me to my first Holy Communion, which in those days was no big deal. We went up to the local parish and we all went to Holy Communion. I think it was probably my first confession as well. And then obviously she was there at my confirmation. She was there at my wedding. She was there at all the sacraments. And obviously she was there at my baptism. There's a picture of me in her arms, black and white photograph. And I started thinking about her. And I started thinking about particularly those last months that she was alive. Because like so many people we've prayed for in this show, so many people we've talked about in this show, the news came through one day, I remember it still, on the telephone, that my mother had been to see the doctors and she had cancer. And the chances of her surviving were very, very slim. I mean, when doctors say that word, it doesn't really matter what they say after it, right? You don't hear it. All you hear is that one word. And my mother, by all accounts, took that news like she took so much else in her life, with an act of faith. Now, it just so happened that she was diagnosed with cancer just prior to Ash Wednesday. And she would die on Pentecost Sunday. So when I say it was a Lent like no other, I mean it. Now, during those weeks that we knew she was going, she was slowly dying, I would spend as much time as I could visiting her and staying with her, as all my brothers did. And she became increasingly dependent on us just to move around. And my job, as most of my brothers, was to drive her around sometimes to different things, hospital appointments or whatever. And one day during Lent, she asked if I would take her to the local church. Because she wanted to do during the day what she had done every single Lent. And that was make the Stations of the Cross, which for anybody who's not a Catholic, it's the little images that are around the walls of Catholic churches which set out the way of the cross, those last moments of our Lord upon this earth. And she wanted to go and make a way of the cross. So I went with her. Now, I'd been with her before to make the Stations of the Cross during Lent. And it was always nice. I found it really pleasant to pray with my mother. It was a great delight. You know, I felt maybe like I was a little child again, you know, learning how to pray. But that day she taught me something different, but she still taught me. Because I was making the way of the cross, as we all do, and we pray for this and that, and you look up at the little images and you try to reflect on something. But after a while, I stopped looking at the images, and instead I started looking at the woman beside me. She was making the way of the cross. But this was no simple devotion. This was a way of the cross that she was making. It was a great act of faith. Remember, this is a woman who was dying. Unlike previous occasions, each genuflection, each prayer uttered that day seemed to have a particular meaning, particular resonance. Now, as time went on and the weeks seemed to pass very, very quickly, she lost her ability to move so easily. She also became less talkative. I mean, she was never somebody who just talked for the sake of it, but she became quieter. And I noticed as well that there was a certain pain in her face almost when people would visit or people would blurt out stuff about God's will or this is God's will for you or anything like that. It was so sort of bland, unhelpful. She didn't say anything, but I could tell that it hurt her. But I remember also one conversation I had with her in a quiet moment, one of those beautiful moments that I will treasure until my dying day. Because she started talking about her childhood. And she was a woman who rarely talked about herself, now that I come to think of it, let alone her childhood. And she talked about her childhood and a specific moment in it, which told me a lot about her faith. And I'd never heard this before. And I was hearing it now, just before she was to leave me. You see, she talked of the Feast of Corpus Christi. And Corpus Christi, as you know, throughout the Catholic world, there's lots of processions. People have these wonderful processions to honor the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior. And people process through the streets. I've even been on processions here in London, which is quite incredible to be part of. When you see the West End of London, Oxford Street, coming to a standstill because of a Eucharistic procession, and you see the reactions of people, most of which I have to say is good. Most of it. But she was talking about Corpus Christi procession in her home parish in a country part of Ireland back in the 1930s. Now, you've got to remember that the part of Ireland that we grew up, that I grew up in, that she lived in all her life, was still part of the United Kingdom. It's a part of Ireland which is very troubled, a lot of conflict between different people there. And the government who ruled at that time were very anti-Catholic. So the community that she belonged to, if you like, were under siege somewhat, persecuted, if you like. But they still wanted to have their Corpus Christi procession. So it was a great occasion. It was a great occasion of validation of what they believed and an expression of what they believed. It was an outward show of the faith that so many of them had suffered for generations. Now, the parish that she belonged to in the countryside contained three churches. Don't ask me how. The parish, the priests sort of, it was a large country area and they had three parishes. So the way the procession would go would be from one parish to another church, and then it would conclude. So it would sort of move across this large country area and all the different people would join in that procession. And I remember watching her as she was talking, because I don't know if you've ever experienced this with older people, but sometimes when they talk about their childhood, you can see the joy of being a child again coming into their faces. And so it was with my mother, you know. I could tell that she was no longer really talking to me, but sort of reliving that moment in her life. She remembered the excitement of the day. It was a big day. It was a festival. The excitement that all the children had as they were decked out in their Sunday best, in their best clothes. And how all the family gathered and all their neighbors came out and gathered together to process as one. And how they would go to the first church and there they would watch as the priest came out with the monstrance and our blessed Lord in the sacred species. And how he would raise high the monstrance to be carried forward, as all the children, including her, would scatter flowers in front of this beautiful procession, in front of our blessed Lord. The adults would walk behind that, reciting the prayers and singing hymns, same as throughout the Catholic world. And they would slowly make their way through the country lanes, arriving at the first church, where there would be some sort of prayers, and then they would arrive finally at the last church. And it was there, after the blessing and no doubt a period of benediction of some sort, that there would be a great celebration after that. Body, blood, and soul was sort of here. It wasn't just a religious occasion, it was a great festival. And there was no work to be done. These were farmers, but there was no work to be done that day. Instead, they all assembled around the church, and there would be food and drink and joyfulness, and the children would play, and they'd be given different treats and sweets and all sorts of goodies to eat. I remember she saying it was a joyful day, a true festival. And she sensed it was really special. Even though she was too young to understand such terms as transubstantiation or the real presence or anything like that, she still understood that there was something very special here. And something that meant an awful lot to her parents, her grandparents, and her ancestors, obviously, before her. And then maybe perhaps she glimpsed something that the real celebration here in that Irish country parish was that the faith had survived. Not only had it survived, but it was once more being transmitted through family, through ritual, through culture. Many years later, as she talked, her face, as I say, lighted up. It was as if she was with her family once more, a child upon those same country muddy lanes. Then almost as suddenly as she had begun speaking, she stopped. And we spoke no more about Corpus Christi or her childhood. I was thinking about that conversation this morning when we were praying for Ireland at Mass. To say Ireland has changed in the intervening decades is an understatement. Today, rural parishes, like so many cities, are closing. There is a lack of vocations. That's blamed on the fact that the congregations are dwindling and the churches are closing, but it's chicken and egg, right? Oh yes, there are still plenty of people who want to have weddings in churches and baptisms and funerals, but there are very few who seem to want to have a Corpus Christi procession. That may change. Who knows? Life has a funny way of throwing up the unexpected, so I wouldn't write Ireland off yet. The death of Catholic Ireland has maybe been predicted a little too often and with a little bit too much glee on the part of some. It's not over yet. But that said, it seems that the land of saints and scholars, as it was once known, is a land that is fading fast because a new spirit is abroad. A new spirit. In this land where there's been so much anti-clericalism, but it's often brought about because of the scandals that have come about. And that gave way to the aggressive secularism that rules the roost these days in Ireland. But let's think where Ireland once was, something that's still very much part of the folk memory, when the Mass and the religion that we belong to, the Catholic faith, was outlawed. It's not that long ago. And they tried to suppress it with what was known as dungeon, fire, and sword. And then they tried famine. Then they tried to emigrate everybody, to weaken the faith. That backfired. All we did was export the faith to America, Australia, England, Nigeria, wherever. Wherever we went, the Irish brought their faith with them. But I can't help thinking that today's Ireland, Oliver Cromwell, would have been very, very impressed. Now, Oliver Cromwell has a special place in the hearts and minds of the Irish, because he set out from England to Ireland to destroy Catholicism. And he very nearly did. His trick was to close the city gates and then burn everybody alive inside them. He did that twice. He also did lots and lots of other horrible things which aren't worth going into. But he wrote back to England at one point and said, "These Irish are impossible. Every time we smash down a cottage door and go in there with our muskets, they are ready for us with their beads. Their rosary beads." He couldn't quite fathom the grip the Catholic faith had upon the Irish. Well, all I will say, Mr. Cromwell, is my beads are still here, and you, my friend, are long gone. So let's not get too depressed, because, you know, the word, the true word, the word of God, is buried deep within that nation's psyche today, as it was many, many generations before. And we talked earlier about the Hill of Slain and Patrick kindling that fire amidst the pagan darkness. Well, guess what? I was only half joking with Dan earlier when I said maybe we need an FM and an AM aerial, a transmitter on top of the Hill of Slain, that we can once more transmit the word to the Irish and to everybody else that needs it in this pagan world, because it's not just Ireland. Everywhere is sunk into a darkness, a rejection of the light. So let us be of good cheer this St. Patrick's Day. We heard earlier that St. Patrick is a great missionary saint. He's a missionary saint to pagans. He's a missionary saint to those countries that don't know Christ. And there are so many of them today, so many societies, too many communities and groups and understandings of the world that need us to be new Patricks today and to bring those to a reality. At some point in the future, you know, when the modern Ireland is sick of all this world offers, and it surveys all the debris of false promises and broken dreams, there will come again Patricks, a few at first, who will again seek the light and seek to talk to people of the light. And perhaps on some far-flung island they shall come upon a deserted church with something unexpected breaking through its shattered windows. What will be breaking through is the light from the candles that tell of the sacrifice then being offered, as once more in Ireland, Corpus Christi is held aloft and given the reverence and the procession that it once had. Well, Pentecost Day came and she left us. And then we buried her, myself, my brothers, my father, in one of those country churches perched on a hillside near where she was born, where she'd grown up. Not far from where that procession had taken place. I remember it was a bright spring day when we lowered her mortal remains into the dark earth below. Now, these many years later, often late of an evening, and surrounded by the noise of a 21st century metropolis such as London, with all its horns blaring and music playing and the rattle of brightly lit empty trains returning for the night, I sometimes catch my mind drifting to that hillside, drifting to that grey granite church. Then beyond that darkened horizon, and often before sleep finally descends, I seem to glimpse in the distance, the far distance, a rare and delicate light. And in the midst of that light, I seem to behold a child joyfully casting flowers before the eternal throne.
That was an incredible story, Kevin. What do we have coming up on Monday?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we are talking UFOs Monday. We've got Ralph Ellis coming to talk to us about UFOs and biblical prophecy. How does that sound?
Sounds interesting.
So listen, I'm here in sackcloth and ashes. What are you and Mike going to be getting up to celebrate St. Patrick today?
Oh, well, We're going to be eating meat today. I'm going to be taking advantage of my dispensation, that's for sure.
Yeah, likewise. I thought about maybe having a cheeseburger, but I was like, nah, I had that last night. I'll go with the corned beef cabbage.
Listen, both of you must have a large helping of corned beef.
Yes,
for me.
I will.
For my sake. Bread and water this side. But listen, is Donnie going to be cooking tonight, Mike?
Actually, I think we're going over to my mother-in-law's. She always does corned beef cabbage during this time of year.
And what about you, Reed? Will you be cooking up something special in the Hodges household?
My mom had something in the crock pot this morning. I'm not exactly sure what it was. I am afraid it will probably not be corned beef and cabbage, but that we'll have something good waiting on us for the Feast of St. Patrick.
Well, it sounds good. What about the streets of Mobile? Have you seen any of those friendly sons of St. Patrick running around yet?
No. You know, I live about 30 minutes away from Mobile, and I don't really, you know, care to go down there. I don't know. I may make a trip down there.
Okay, well, listen, I can't let you go without asking another question. What about this talk of a leprechaun at this time of year around Mobile?
Oh, the Mobile leprechaun? Yeah, uh-huh. He showed up at our house this morning, left some treats for the kids, but we couldn't catch him.
Next year, we got to get him on the show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen,
Mr. Leprechaun, if you're listening, you can still phone in, okay? Monday, maybe give us a ring, Mr. Leprechaun, and tell us how your St. Patrick's Day went.
If we can get our hands on a leprechaun, we're going to have a lot of almsgiving we have to do.
Oh, yeah.
We'll not only have a lot of almsgiving, we'll probably have a lot of listeners if we can get a real live leprechaun in the studio. That's something even Coast to Coast AM can't achieve, but we can do it here on this station because this is Archangel Radio and we can do all sorts of wonderful things. Listen, if you've enjoyed listening to me, to Mike, to Reed, then we can do it all again next week. Same time, same place, every morning, 8 a.m., we kick off here the Turley Frequency on Archangel Radio, and we would be delighted to have your company on any feast day, not just on the feast day of St. Patrick. So, listen, thanks to Mr. Mike Romano, Mr. Reed Hodges, Michelle McAloon, Ellen Taylor, Sherry Jackson, and everybody else who's contributed to this show this week and every week. We really, really appreciate all you do. But most of all, we appreciate you for listening, because you know what? Without you, I would look very, very silly sitting here talking to myself, and we can't have that. So, listen, until we meet again next week, have a wonderful weekend. Feast of St. Joseph officially is Monday. Let's meet again then. Until then, stay tuned to the only radio station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, which is Archangel Radio. So, until then, may God bless you and keep you, and may St. Joseph watch over you.